Ever feel like you're just drowning in information these days?
Well, yeah.
Today we're tossing you a life preserver.
Oh, nice.
We're diving deep into two of King David's most powerful poems.
Right.
His victory anthem,
mm-hmm.
The Lord is My Rock.
Okay.
And his final words of wisdom.
Right.
And trust me,
yeah.
These aren't your typical dusty poems.
Yeah, no, no.
They're packed with raw emotion
yeah.
and timeless insights.
For sure.
So to guide us on this deep dive,
uh-huh.
we've got an incredible lecture by Dr. Chisholm.
That's right.
A scholar who really knows how to bring these ancient texts to life.
He really does.
He's diving into 2 Samuel
okay.
chapters 22 and 23.
All right.
Where we find these poems attributed to David.
Yes.
The warrior poet.
Warrior poet.
Known for his, shall we say,
mm.
intense relationship with God.
Intense is putting it mildly, I think.
Intense is putting it mildly.
Yeah.
So before we get into the nitty gritty.
Okay.
What's the big picture here?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Why should we care?
Yeah.
About poems written thousands of years ago?
You know, I think these poems, especially The Lord is My Rock,
okay.
aren't just ancient history.
Yeah.
I mean, they grapple with universal themes,
yeah.
faith, doubt, leadership,
right.
the human struggle.
Uh-huh.
And David doesn't sugarcoat things.
No.
He lays bare his heart,
yeah.
fears, his dependence on God.
Yeah.
It's surprisingly relatable.
It really is. I yeah. love that.
Yeah.
So let's jump into this first poem.
Okay.
The Lord is My Rock.
All right.
This one's a bit of a celebrity.
Oh, tell me more.
It shows up in 2 different places in the Bible.
It does.
Both in 2 Samuel
uh-huh.
and Psalm 18.
Really?
Must have been a real crowd pleaser.
I guess so.
What's the main vibe?
Well, it's a song of thanksgiving.
Go. Oh.
But it's also a war cry.
Oh, interesting.
David is celebrating God's deliverance
yeah.
throughout his life.
Uh-huh.
All those close calls and narrow escapes. But he's not shy
no.
about describing the danger he faced.
He doesn't hold back.
He doesn't.
When he talks about his enemies.
Yeah.
Waves of death, torrents of destruction, cords of the grave.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he's painting this intense, visceral picture.
Right.
Of being hunted, surrounded.
Right.
Almost swallowed up by his enemies.
Exactly. And that's where the central metaphor comes in.
Okay.
The Lord is my rock.
Yeah.
And you know, that image really resonated with me. It's mm-hmm. not just any rock, right?
Right.
It's this solid, unmovable place of safety.
Yeah.
A fortress.
Okay. Yeah.
A high cliff where David could escape his pursuers.
Right.
And when you consider that
yeah.
David spent years on the run from King Saul.
Right.
Hiding in caves and rocky terrain.
Mm.
It takes on this whole new level of meaning.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like that image of rock is connecting us directly to David's experience.
Absolutely.
Like we're right there with him.
Yeah.
Feeling the danger, the desperation.
Mm-hmm.
And then bam.
Bam.
Bam. The relief of finding refuge.
Yes.
Yeah.
And speaking of bam.
Okay.
We get this incredibly dramatic scene in verses 8 through 16.
All right.
Where God shows up
yeah.
in a truly epic way.
Okay.
Dr. Chisholm calls it a theophany.
Okay.
Which is a fancy way of saying
yeah.
God reveals himself.
Okay.
In a visible, often powerful way.
All right. So what does this divine intervention look like?
Well, picture this.
Okay.
The earth shakes.
Okay.
The heavens tremble.
Whoa.
Smoke and fire billow out.
Okay.
And God himself descends.
Wow.
Riding on a cherub.
Okay.
Wielding lightning bolts.
Okay, that's intense.
Yeah, it's an awe-inspiring display of power.
Yeah.
Almost like a cosmic special effects show.
Right. Talk about making an entrance.
I know.
But there's more to it than just spectacle, right?
Oh, absolutely.
There's this deeper meaning behind it.
Yeah, Dr. Chisholm points out that this scene might be a deliberate counter
okay.
to the Canaanite storm god, Baal. You know, it's like David is saying, look, our God Yahweh is the true power behind the storm.
Right.
The one who controls the forces of nature.
Yeah.
It's a bold statement
yeah.
about who's really in charge.
Right. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
So David's using this poem
uh-huh.
to not only express his personal gratitude.
Yeah.
But also to make a theological point.
That's right.
About the supremacy of his God.
Exactly.
But then things get a bit tricky.
You're right.
Yeah.
We hit this section
yeah.
in verses 21 through 25.
Okay.
Where David starts talking about his own righteousness and faithfulness.
Right.
You know, I think it's fair to say
yeah.
that most of us are thinking, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wasn't this the same guy
uh-huh.
who committed adultery and arranged for a man to be killed in battle?
Right.
How can he possibly claim to be righteous?
Yeah, that's a bit of a head scratcher.
I know, right?
What's Dr. Chisholm's take?
Well, he suggests that we need to look at the bigger picture.
Okay.
David isn't claiming to be sinless.
Right.
He's highlighting his overall commitment to God,
uh-huh.
his allegiance, his efforts to live according to God's law.
Okay.
It's like he's contrasting himself
okay.
with his truly wicked enemies
right.
who openly defied God
yeah.
and actively opposed his will.
So it's more about his direction.
Yeah.
His heart's desire.
That's right.
Rather than claiming absolute perfection.
Exactly.
Okay.
You know, it made me think about
yeah.
how we view heroes today.
Right.
We tend to focus on the good they did,
yeah.
even if they weren't perfect.
Yeah.
It's like we're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, they messed up.
Yeah.
But overall, they were trying to do the right thing.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's a helpful analogy.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of something else Dr. Chisholm mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
That God chose to focus on David's good qualities.
Right.
His potential.
Yeah.
Overlooking his past sins.
It's like Aslan in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Yes.
Extending grace and forgiveness.
Yeah.
Seeing the heart beneath the flaws.
Right. That's a perfect comparison.
It is.
It speaks to the transformative power of God's grace.
Yes.
His willingness to work with us, even when we mess up.
I love that.
Yeah.
But then, just when we think we've got things figured out.
Oh.
The poem takes another unexpected turn.
Okay, tell me more. What's the twist this time?
Well, Dr. Chisholm brings up this idea
yeah.
that God's justice
yeah.
can sometimes involve deception.
Really?
Especially when dealing with people who are stubbornly wicked.
Okay.
He even uses the word deceit.
Wow.
Which is pretty strong language.
God being deceitful.
It might seem counterintuitive.
Yeah.
He gives this example from 1 Kings 22,
right.
where God allows a lying spirit to deceive King Ahab's prophets.
Really?
Ultimately leading to Ahab's downfall.
Wow.
And he even connects this to the New Testament,
right.
mentioning the deluding influence that will come upon those who persistently reject God.
So we're talking about a very specific context here.
Right.
It's not like God is going around tricking innocent people.
Yeah.
It's more like
yeah.
if you consistently choose to ignore the truth,
mm-hmm.
you might become so blinded
right.
that you start believing a lie.
That's a great way to put it. It's
yeah.
like the consequences of our choices catching up with us. If we keep rejecting truth,
yeah.
we might eventually become incapable of recognizing it.
That's a sobering thought for sure.
It is.
It makes me wonder,
yeah.
am I really seeking truth?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I holding on to beliefs that are comfortable, but maybe not entirely true?
Good question.
Definitely gives me something to think about.
It does.
But before we get too lost in existential pondering,
okay.
we need to get back to David's poem.
All right.
We've covered the danger, the rescue,
right.
the complex issue of righteousness,
yeah.
and even touched on divine deception.
Wow.
What else is going on in this victory song?
Well, the second half of the poem
okay.
focuses on God empowering David for battle,
yeah.
giving him strength and victory over his enemies.
Right.
We get these vivid descriptions
okay.
of David being as agile as a deer,
uh-huh.
leaping over walls,
okay.
effortlessly defeating his opponents.
Right.
And it's clear that he attributes all his skill and success to God.
So it's not just about God being a protective rock,
right?
But also about God actively equipping him
yeah.
to fight and win these battles.
Precisely.
Right.
Remember, hand-to-hand combat was brutal back then.
Oh, yeah.
Any misstep could mean death.
Right.
But David claims that God trained his hands for war.
Wow.
Made his arms strong enough to bend a bow of bronze.
Really?
He's essentially saying that yeah. every victory, every successful maneuver
yeah.
is a gift from God.
Wow. That's a powerful testament to David's faith.
It is.
He's not taking any credit for his own abilities.
Not at all.
He's acknowledging that his success comes from a source far greater than himself.
Exactly. And yeah. that sense of humility.
Yeah.
Of recognizing our dependence on a higher power.
Right.
I think that's a quality that resonates throughout the ages.
It does.
It's a quality we often see mm-hmm. in truly great leaders.
Right.
Both then and now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So before we move on to David's final words of wisdom,
yeah.
let's pause for a moment
right.
and bring our listener into the conversation.
Okay.
What stands out to you
yeah.
from this incredible song of victory?
Mm.
What resonates with your own experiences?
Yeah.
Have you ever felt like you found refuge in the rock, so to speak, in the midst of a storm?
It's a powerful image.
We'll be back in a moment
All right.
to explore David's final poem
okay.
and the profound insights it offers.
Sounds good.
Okay, so we've journeyed through this epic battle cry.
Yeah.
The Lord is my rock.
Right.
And now we're moving on to David's final words of wisdom. Found in TKamilasta 23.117.
All right.
It's like getting a glimpse into the heart and mind of this legendary figure as he nears the end of his life.
Yeah.
What's the overall feeling we get from this poem?
You know, it's a poem of reflection, a distillation of David's life and legacy.
Right.
He's looking back on his role as God's chosen king and contemplating the everlasting covenant he received.
Right.
But it's not just a personal reflection.
Right.
It's also a powerful message about what it means to be a truly righteous leader.
It's amazing to think that these words penned thousands of years ago still resonate so deeply today.
They do.
So what kind of imagery does David use to paint this picture?
Well, he uses this incredibly beautiful metaphor.
Okay.
The righteous king is like the radiant light of dawn.
Okay.
Like the sunshine that breaks through after a refreshing rain.
Mm-hmm.
It's a picture of hope, of renewal, of divine blessing pouring out on the land.
So it's not just about power or military might.
Right.
It's about this life-giving energy.
Yeah.
This sense of flourishing that a good king brings to his people.
Exactly. David understood that true leadership wasn't about personal gain or self-aggrandizement.
Okay.
It was about serving others.
Right.
About reflecting God's love and justice in the way you rule.
I see where you're going with this.
Yeah.
He talks about wicked people, right?
Yes. He compares them to worthless thorns.
Okay.
Fit only to be burned up.
Wow.
It's a stark reminder that choices have consequences.
Yeah.
Lining yourself with God.
Uh-huh.
Choosing righteousness leads to flourishing.
Okay. Yeah.
Rejecting God ultimately leads to destruction.
That's a powerful image. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But here's something that struck me as I was reading this poem.
Okay.
David acknowledges that his own family, his dynasty, isn't perfect.
Right.
He even says, if my house were not right with God, surely he would not have made with me an everlasting covenant.
Right. So how does that square with his earlier claims of righteousness?
Right. And the Lord is my rock.
Yeah. Is he contradicting himself?
Yes, he's contradicting himself.
I think it shows a remarkable level of self-awareness.
Okay.
David recognized that he wasn't flawless.
Yeah.
And that even his own family had its share of dysfunction.
Right.
But he also understood that God's covenant with him, this promise of an enduring legacy, wasn't based on perfect performance. It was based on grace.
So it's not about being sinless, but about being in right relationship with God.
That's it.
Acknowledging our need for his grace and mercy, even when we mess up.
Exactly. And here's where Dr. Chisholm makes a really fascinating connection.
Okay.
He argues that while these poems were certainly true in David's own life, they ultimately point towards a greater fulfillment in Jesus Christ.
Tell me more about this connection to Jesus.
Well, Jesus is often referred to as the son of David.
Oh, okay.
The descendant who would perfectly embody the righteous king.
Right.
And fulfill the Davidic covenant.
Okay.
Remember that promise of an everlasting kingdom?
Yeah.
It finds its ultimate expression in Jesus.
So these poems, in a way, become prophetic.
You could say that.
They're not just about David.
Right.
They're pointing us towards something even greater.
In a sense, yes.
Okay.
They foreshadow the coming of a king who would rule with perfect justice and righteousness, establishing a kingdom that would last forever.
Wow.
And that brings a whole new dimension to David's words.
That's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
It's like these ancient poems are suddenly bursting with new meaning.
I know. It's pretty amazing.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into David's poetry, what are the key takeaways you'd like our listener to remember?
I think these poems, taken together, offer us a profound understanding of God's character, his power, his faithfulness, his mercy, even his surprising ways of working in the world.
Yeah.
And they also challenge us to think about what it means to live a life of faith, even in the midst of struggles and setbacks.
Yes. And to add to that, I think these poems offer a timeless blueprint for leadership.
I agree.
It's not about dominance or control.
Right.
It's about humility. Service and reflecting God's love and justice in the way we lead.
Beautifully said.
And I think that's a message that transcends time and culture.
It does.
We need leaders like that today.
We do.
In all spheres of life.
Yeah.
Leaders who prioritize the well-being of those they serve.
Absolutely.
Who seek wisdom and guidance from a higher power.
Uh-huh.
And who lead with integrity and compassion.
I love that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, dear listener,
Yeah.
As you reflect on what we've explored today, what resonates with you most deeply? What questions do these poems raise for you about faith, leadership, or God's character?
Good question.
We'd love to hear your thoughts.
We would.
But we're not done yet. We've got one more segment.
Okay.
Well, we'll tie it all together
and
explore some final insights from these powerful poems.
Sounds good.
Stay with us. You know, we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive.
We have.
From fleeing for his life to leading a nation.
Yeah.
David's story is full of twists and turns, battles won and lost, incredible highs and crushing lows. It's like a microcosm of the human experience itself.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what's so striking is how these poems capture the full range of human emotion, the fear, the doubt, the elation, the vulnerability.
They remind us that even someone as renowned as David, this legendary warrior king, grappled with the same kinds of struggles we face today.
I think so.
It makes him so much more relatable, right?
Oh, absolutely.
He's not just this distant, perfect figure in a history book. He's a real person with real flaws.
Yeah.
Who wrestled with big questions, made mistakes, and yet ultimately found his strength and solace in his relationship with God.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a powerful message for us today.
I agree.
No matter what we're facing, whether it's a personal crisis, a career setback, a global pandemic, we can find comfort and courage in knowing that God is there.
That's right.
That unwavering presence.
That rock we can cling to.
Yeah, that rock we can cling to.
When the storms of life rage around us.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's like these poems are giving us this timeless wisdom, this reminder that we're not alone in our struggles.
I think so.
But it's not just about personal comfort, is it?
No, I think there's also...
There's also this profound message about leadership.
Yeah.
Woven throughout both poems.
You're right. David's not just sharing his personal journey.
Right.
He's also giving us a blueprint for what it means to be a truly righteous leader. A leader who reflects God's character in the way they rule.
And I think that's such a relevant message for our times.
Oh, it is.
We're bombarded with so many different models of leadership.
Right.
Some good, some not so good.
Yeah.
But David's poems point us back to these core values. Humility, justice, integrity, compassion.
Absolutely.
These are timeless qualities that transcend culture and context.
They do.
Think about the imagery David uses to describe the ideal king.
Yeah.
The life-giving light of dawn. The refreshing rain that brings renewal.
Right.
It's not about dominance or control.
No.
It's about serving others.
That's it.
Creating an environment where people can flourish.
Yeah.
Where justice and righteousness prevail.
It's like he's saying, look, true leadership isn't about self-promotion or personal gain.
Right.
It's about reflecting the very character of God in the way you lead.
And that's a pretty high calling.
It is.
And while David certainly had his flaws, he ultimately points us towards the one who perfectly embodies these qualities.
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
The Son of David. The ultimate righteous king.
That's right.
And that brings us full circle, doesn't it?
It does.
From David's personal struggles and triumphs.
Yeah.
To this glimpse of a greater hope.
Right.
A kingdom that will never end.
A kingdom that will never end.
It's an incredible journey these poems have taken us on.
It really is.
And while our deep dive has come to an end,
I
encourage you to continue exploring these poems on your own.
I agree.
Let them speak to your heart. Challenge your assumptions.
Yeah.
And inspire you to live a life of greater purpose and meaning.
Beautifully said.
So, dear listener.
Yeah.
As you go about your week, let David's words linger in your mind.
Yes.
Let them remind you that you are not alone.
That's right.
That there is a source of strength and hope that never fails.
That's the truth.
And that each of us, in our own way, can strive to be a reflection of that light, that life-giving force in the world around us.
I love that.
Until next time.
Yes.
Keep diving deep.